Let's bring in Elliot Friedman of Hockey Night in Canada and Sportsnet. Elliot, thanks so much for joining us. I find this a fascinating issue, even more fascinating than, you know, the pucks being directed in by skates and all that, just because it really does kind of get to the way the game is played now, where you go to the net, you crowd the net, there's a lot of action in front of the goal. I mean, we always hear crash the net all the time, especially in the playoffs. And I got to tell you, I just don't know where the NHL goes with this. This may just be one of those things where you almost have to cross your fingers, Elliot.
Well, Jeff, to me, there's no question it's always going to be a gray area. You know, one of the things that they kind of talked about yesterday was, and I don't know how long they talked about it, but it definitely came up, was, you know, we see fewer, quote-unquote, frivolous offside reviews now that there's a penalty for it if you get it wrong. And someone said, you know, should we do it the same thing for goaltender interference? But it came as a gigantic negative because, at least offside, there's a bit of black and white to it. Is he onside or not? With the goaltender interference, it's so much of a gray area call that I don't think anybody wanted to go down that route. You know, I think with goaltender, first of all, I don't think they crashed the net anywhere near as hard as it used to be. Mm-hmm. The game is just a lot faster. You know, yesterday what they did was interesting was they invited the media in after the main meeting was over, and they showed us some of the examples. And it's, I mean, anybody with, Jeff, with half a brain can figure it out that when you watch it at full speed and then when you watch it with replays, it's so much easier to formulate an honest opinion. But I think, to me, the most fascinating thing about it is they're trying to make this, well, recognizing it a judgment call, they're trying to make it more consistent, and they don't seem to have an agreement between the various factions as to how that agreement will work. And so we're hearing we're going to have something by Wednesday, but I'm not sure anybody really knows what it is.
Why wouldn't they just adopt the double IHF rule, which seems to be kind of the common, you know, what a lot of people are saying, right? Just adopt the double IHF rule and let's move on. Why won't they do that?
That was brought up yesterday too. That did come up in conversation. And they don't like it. And I get it. There are some things about that rule that are not good. Like, you know, because I followed up, and apparently they had some examples of goals being disallowed where a puck was being shot into a net and the person being in the crease had nothing to do with the play and the goal didn't count. And they're like, you know, we don't want that. We really don't want that, is what they said.
Right. And it also, you think about it, you look at a game and the number of whistles you would get in that situation.
I know people who really hate that rule. And, you know, if you ask any goaltender who comes over from Europe to North America, one of the biggest changes they face is the amount of traffic in front of the net. And even though, as I said, it's less than it used to be, it's still a lot more. Mm-hmm. I do think that the amount of whistles, I think that would drive North American hockey fans to frustration.
This is maybe a little counterintuitive here, but is this an example of maybe a case where video review should not have been employed? In other words, video review can be used for whether or not the puck crosses the line. But in this case, just let the referees make the call on the ice and never mind having it subject to video review. I understand that doesn't necessarily change what's happening. It just sort of changes perception.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I was a big proponent of video review when it came in, and Colin Campbell was actually one of the guys, and I remember we had a conversation, and he said, you know, be careful what you wish for. He thinks there's going to be a lot of people who, you know, after video review comes in, they're going to say, well, this is either a lot more complicated or a lot worse than we thought it was going to be, and I am one of those people. He warned that there would be a lot of unintended consequences, and I think in this particular case, you know, he was right. You know, one of the questions we were asked about though yesterday, though, Jeff, was, is the NHL overreacting to this? And there's a certain segment that believes it is, because I think the stat they used yesterday was there's only 6 really disputed goals out of 6,500. And, you know, but I don't think there's anything wrong with trying to get it right. Like, 20 years later, we're still talking about Brett Hull. Right. And if it happens to you in the playoffs, you know, it's never insignificant. I don't see a problem with trying to get it right. I just think that this call is a lot harder. I mean, now that we've done it, are you're sort of damned if you do, damned if you don't, Jeff, because if we take it away and some team gets knocked out on a controversial goal, people are going to say, why don't you have a replay? So, you know, you're caught in kind of a problem here. I think the bigger issue now is, how do you make the call more consistent? Mm-hmm. And that, to me, is the most fascinating part of this, is that the way to make it most consistent is to limit it to a certain number of people who can make the call.
Right.
But the referees don't want the call to be made in Toronto in the situation room. And the league doesn't seem to want that either. And the situation room, I'm not sure they want it either. Well, okay, so if you're not willing to do that, what are your choices? Well, as you know, Major League Baseball has an umpire in the room. Mm-hmm. But again, if it's 6 to 10 different people, are you making it any more consistent? And that's why I wonder if there's two retired referees here at this meeting, Rob Schick and Don Van Massenhoven, and I wonder if maybe them two and maybe one other guy becomes the referee that's always in the situation room, at least for the rest of the season, so that the amount of people really making the call is down to 2 or 3.
Yeah, it's funny because I know that in soccer, the Bundesliga was one of the first leagues to adopt video-assisted refereeing. And what they do is they've got a current referee, in other words, somebody from the current rotation of referees who is not assigned a game that weekend, and two former referees, and they're in a room and they make the call. And it's,
this isn't going to turn into a Kevin Barker, like, pronounce the name segment, is it?
We're not going to get you with Bundesliga. But what I'm saying is, you know, it's certainly had its kinks, and there's some things that need to be ironed out. But you know, at least people kind of have an idea who's making the call, right? And
you know, I think that's a good idea. You know, I'll suggest it. I'll mention it to someone. Maybe that's the kind of thing that happens.
Yeah. I want to move on and talk about the situation in Ottawa. Now, look, you know, fans are free to protest. I get that. And it doesn't necessarily mean anything is going to happen as a result of it. And I've got to think that the NHL probably has other issues besides the Ottawa Senators. I don't know if the Ottawa Senators are an issue right now. But Elliot, you've got a team in Canada. It's pretty clear that there's dissatisfaction, at least with a certain percentage of the fan base, at Eugene Melnyk. Is there any concern at all in the NHL office about the Ottawa Senators?
I think there is some. I mean, it's interesting that this is the way to go now. This is the second time this year that's happened. It happened with the Islanders, too. So, you know, fans are finding new and unique ways to get their displeasure out there. You know, it's catching on as a way, I guess. I think there. I mean, the thing about Ottawa is there's so many rumors about, you know, Eugene Melnyk and his finances or the future of the team. You know, you ask the questions, people deny them. The rumors don't go away. It's impossible to ignore, and it's very difficult to figure out what the truth is. Although you suspect you have an idea. And, you know, I think until the Senators get their arena situation sorted out, there's going to be questions. And number two, you know, there's always going to be rumors about Melnyk's finances and whether or not the debt load he's taken on is too much to handle the team. They say no, but it doesn't go away. And the third thing is that, you know, I think one of the toughest things for the fans there is that it's such a wildly inconsistent franchise. Mm-hmm. They go from great year to rough year to great year to rough year. And we were kind of talking about this last night, but it's difficult. You know, Ottawa, if you take a look at all of their great players, how many of them have left the franchise on good terms? And, you know, sometimes it's hard. You know, not everybody, Jeff, gets the Derek Jeter send-off where you're allowed to hit first or second when you're hitting 220 or whatever it is, and the franchise bends over for you. That doesn't happen much in sports anymore. And if you look at the history, and I guess one of the people involved was quoted as saying that one of their issues was Alfredson, but if you go back, to Yashin, a lot of that was his own fault, but Spezza, Chara, Redden, who else? Danny Heatley, that was a tough one, though, too. Like, none of these guys have left the team in good circumstances. And that's one thing that fans have told me, is that they don't like how that happens, that all their best players leave in a hard way, and I think that's as big an issue as anything. And now look at Carlson. I think that's as big an issue as anything else.
The Leafs will get back on the ice against the Tampa Bay Lightning tonight. Mike Babcock sort of pulling in the reins a little bit on the possibility of Austin Matthews returning. It won't happen tonight. Freddie Anderson, I guess, maybe a possibility. I mean, if you're the Leafs, really, there's you might as well give Austin Matthews as much time as you can at this stage.
I agree with that. I mean, you know, he's your franchise player. He's your best player. You know, he's been a bit banged up this year. You know, and shoulders are funny things. If anybody's injured a shoulder out there, they're not exactly the most difficult thing to aggravate or re-injure. You know, it sounds like he's like, enough of this. Okay, I'm ready to play. But, you know, they're being smart. And, you know, eventually he'll get back in, and I'm sure they'll hope he'll be wound up and ready to go. But, you know, Carey Price is coming back for Montreal, and last day we asked Bergevin if he would shut him down. He said, no, he wants to play, and he's healthy to play. We're going to put him out there. And Toronto's obviously in a difficult situation. Matthews wants to play, and they're going to put him out there. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's one of those situations, Jeff, where they say, okay, you're ready to play, and Toronto says, you know what, we're going to wait one more game.
Yeah, I just, you know, look, we know that he's going to be, well, he's got a target in his back anyhow because of the player he is. But, you know, shoulder injury going into the playoffs is like a red cape, right? For any team,
yes.
For any team you're playing against. Yeah, and if I'm the Leafs, I err on the side of caution here. And if I need an extra day, or I want to pick my spots with Austin Matthews, I mean, I'll tell you what, Elliot, I wouldn't even mind. If you're going to put him back in the lineup, I wouldn't mind putting him in the lineup and maybe taking him out and putting him back in and taking him out and just making sure that he's ready for the playoffs. Beyond that, I don't think there's much to accomplish here.
No, that'll drive him nuts. That's the only thing you got to worry about if you go with that plan. But, yeah, you know, I think, too, you know, you take your time. It's not like you're playing for your playoff life here. You know you're likely finishing third. Your team's going okay. You know what? Just, you know, be smart with it. I think that's the only thing, and I think that's what Toronto's going to do.
Elliot, we're going to let you scoot. Appreciate you doing this, as always.
All right, take care, Jeff. Have a great day.